look a lot more prettier and nicer knowing the impact of what could play out over the next couple of weeks?
You know, it's interesting, Johnny, because I've seen this develop over having been here in 2011 and seeing what the downtown was and what it is now. I mean, it's pretty clear, and it's a lot of fun to watch. And I'm literally looking out of my hotel room right now and staring at the ballpark. I mean, that's what I have. I have the view of TD Ameritrade Park, and it's pretty cool. And so this is the place you want to be, you know, and so we'll see how it goes. But I mean, this team, I think everything they said was they were going to find a way to get to this point. Anything less than this was going to be a disappointment, and they've gotten here, so I give them credit for that.
I mean, Michigan, by the way, I don't know if it's an unfair advantage or not, but, you know, the Big Ten tournament was held at this in this facility back in May. But once things get underway, does that really come into play at all?
No, it doesn't. No, I don't think it does at all. It's a very interesting ballpark, Johnny, because it's a big ballpark. And you've been around a lot of these where you see, you know, there are some ballparks that are built for hitters. This one's built for pitchers. You know, it's 408 to straightaway center. It's 375 to the alleys, but the wind blows in most of the time. And so if your pitching staff is really good, you've got a really good chance. It's hard to hit balls out of this place. You're not going to see a lot of high-scoring games here in the World Series. And then that's just not the way this ballpark plays. It's really kind of a fundamental, going back to the, you know, to the old days, that's the way it plays out. And I think that plays into Vanderbilt's hands. They like it very much.
Hey, by the way, if we are talking about Michigan being important as far as from a Vanderbilt perspective, that's a good thing, because that means Michigan and Vanderbilt are playing for the national title.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it's great. You know, Eric Backage is the head coach at Michigan, and he was a former Commodore assistant with Tim Corbin. And so that was wonderful to see them make the run that they did and get to this place. And so that's great. And so there are so many really good stories here. Johnny, it's very interesting. It's, you know, Florida State, we understand. I mean, the story of Mike Martin, for all the years that he has, and, you know, had that program and done the wonderful things that he has done at Florida State, to get back here one more time is very special. A Mississippi State team that I think has a chance. I mean, they're really, really good. They have a chance to win the whole thing. And then an Auburn team that what a wonderful story that is, and what they have accomplished. Whenever you get to Omaha, you're going to have those kind of stories. You're going to have those moments. It may be three or four different stories, but it's going to be a wonderful, you know, plethora of stories that we have here, and that's what we've got right now.
And, you know, I was talking about the Florida State situation, because this tournament certainly looks like, you know, the men's basketball tournament, in the sense that, you know, some years the best team in the regular season is also the last team, one of those last team standings with a chance to cut down the nets. But also you get teams that get hot at the right time and make a run that nobody was anticipating. And this year's College World Series, as far as baseball is concerned, we get the best of both worlds. We get a Vanderbilt that, since February, you know, it's been a team that we've been talking about. Like, this is really, anything short of where they are right now would have been a huge disappointment. And then we get the emotional ties, you know, Florida State playing for Mike Martin, final year as head coach, most baseball college wins ever as far as college baseball. And then you get the Auburn situation where I really do believe that with the passing of Rod Bramlett, the longtime voice of the Auburn Tigers, I think that this Auburn Tigers team is using that and certainly playing for Rod Bramlett.
I think you're right, Johnny. And it's one of those things that you see it when it happens, and you see a team develop in that regard. And so, but I believe for Vanderbilt, as you said, anything short of this would have been a disappointment. And that's true. I think that's very true. You know, this was a team that was built for this moment. but found a way to do it, you know, win the SEC tournament, win the SEC regular season championship. They've won everything that's been put in front of them. And to get to this point and win to be able to get here is a very big deal. And so I think that they deserve a lot of credit in that regard. But you're right. I mean, you get the Florida States of the world that have the story they have, the Auburns that they have, the story that they have. And when you get to this point, everybody's got kind of their little thing going on, you know, and their mojo, if you will. But it's one of those things where when you begin the year and you look and you say, we would love to be to Omaha, we'd love to get to Omaha, and now you're one of the eight teams here, it's pretty special. I mean, it's, I don't care how good you are or how talented you are, this is still special to be able to get to this point.
I was going back and, you know, with postseason play beginning with the SEC tournament and looking at the four teams from the SEC that are part of the College World Series. You know, Vanderbilt, 4-0, more wins than the other three teams combined in the SEC tournament. Mississippi State, Auburn, and Arkansas all went 1-2, so a combined 3-6 for those three, while Vanderbilt took care of business as far as the regional. And then they suffered their first loss, you know, the 16 previous weekends this year, February through until Friday, 16-0 in the opening game of a weekend. They lose to in that first game to Duke, but they certainly bounced back in style, especially on Saturday night.
Yeah, they did. And I think that was very interesting, Johnny. It was I talked to Tim Corbin about that, and I said, okay, you're about to play your first game where this might be your last game. You know, literally, you're taking the field, and this could be it. And that was not in their mindset. I mean, they just totally understood, okay, we lost that game, that's fine, we're going to move on, and everything's fine. And then Kumar Rocker, of course, you know, gave us, you know, the pitching, you know, for the ages, which he did. And I think that they built on that and then parlayed that into the next day and blew Duke away in the Sunday game in that regard. But it was interesting to see how this team reacted to the first time they were up against it, and they had no problem. I mean, this is a veteran team. They understand how it works. And it's very interesting, Johnny, because there are a lot of guys. I mean, none of these guys have ever been here before. I mean, we were here in 15. None of these guys were on that team. So this is a new experience for all of them in that regard. But this is fully what they expected and what they believed they would accomplish. And to watch them walk around and be here in the ballpark and see what it is and say, okay, oh, this is okay, we understand it. This is where we're supposed to be. We get it. I think it's very interesting. This is a very mature team that I think is handling it the right way.
You know, I look at, you know, we go back on the other side of the bracket with Florida State. You know, here's a team that had to go on the road in a regional held in Athens, Georgia, the fourth overall national seed. They sweep this regional. They go 3-0, beat Georgia twice, and then they go on the road, LSU, a 13 overall national seed. It didn't take three games. They did it in two games and even found a way to come from behind. But the most important part was we're talking about two crowds that are, what, a combined 20,000 plus as far as with both of the regionals, the regional and the super regional. So when you think about from a crowd perspective, at what point, you know, if you're a Vanderbilt or any of these other teams, do you forget about the crowd and forget about the largeness of this venue?
I don't think they worry about that, Johnny. To be honest, I think they're confident and comfortable in playing in front of whatever crowds there are. And you're going to have, as you said, when you play here, you're going to have 25,000 people here. You know, at TD Ameritrade Park, you're going to have 25,000 to 30,000 for every game. But that's what it's built for, and that's what you do. I don't think they worry about that. I think they're comfortable with that. I don't think the crowds are an issue for them at all. So we'll see how it plays out. It's I would say, and I've been around this, you know, having been through this four times now, there's nerves, and you'll see guys that are a little bit nervous, you know, at the start. But I would think this group is very confident in the fact that they belong here. I think they deserve to be here. I think they built their entire season around being here. And so I don't think they're going to be overwhelmed by this. I think they're going to be very comfortable in this perspective.
Not unless this has changed. Right now, we still don't know who's starting yet on Sunday for Vanderbilt, not unless that changed on the way to Omaha. And if that's still undecided, I was going to talk about the fact that Kumar Rocker, forget about the 19 strikeouts and the no-hitter. The part that I think, if he gets the call on Sunday in that very first game against Louisville, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that the second batter he faces on Saturday night, he hits him in the face. And what does he do? He regains his composure. I mean, think about that. You know, most folks, I don't care if the major league level, whatever level, you're talking about somebody not being able to regroup. And here we are, a freshman with the season on the line. Forget about the game on the line. The season is on the line. He settles down in 19 strikeouts, and especially in that stretch from innings 3 through 7 where 15 outs were recorded, 13 strikeouts during that stretch.
Yeah, Johnny, I think a lot of people forget that. And I think that was a great indication of the growth of this person to be able to have hit that player. And it was terrible, and we were scared about, you know, what might happen to Taylor. And thank goodness he was not seriously hurt. But, I mean, that was a really, really scary moment. But to be able to pull back from that and come back and pitched the way he did after that, I think was a tremendous show of his maturity and a growth process that maybe we didn't know. I mean, that was another level. I think even Tim Corbin would tell you he didn't know what to expect after that. But to see him react the way he did after that was special. I would think that they're going to start Drake Fellows in the first game on Sunday. And I don't know that that's the case, but I believe that will be the case. And I think they'll stay with that and then go on from there. But I think they're very confident in what they have pitching wise, whoever it is that they roll out there, that they have an opportunity to do some really good things. And this is what they're built for. I mean, this is the way this tournament was built. This is the way this team is built. And we'll see how it plays out.
The other part that really sticks out for me, you know, going into the month of April, the team was 22-6 overall, right? Since then, they're 32-5. 32-5. They only suffered one loss the entire month of May, and so far only one loss the entire month of June, which was last Friday against Duke. I mean, this is just an amazing run of consistency, and we've talked to Tim Corbin about this throughout the season, and that's just the one word that keeps coming back and coming back and coming back, consistency, and I think that's the best way to describe this year's team.
I would agree. I think you're totally right. It's been a team that's been very consistent from day one, and when you have a 13-game win streak, and then you lose a game, and then you win 12 more, and then you lose a game. I think you've seen this team the water rolls off their back. I mean, if you lose a game, they're fine, and they move on. They are led by a tremendous amount of different kind of players, and Austin Martin, who's batting 400, you know, who is, you know, one of the best hitters really in the history of the SEC, and a J.J. Bleda, who's the SEC Player of the Year. And then you go down the list, and all these left-handed guys that have done a wonderful thing, and then Julian Infante, the bottom of the list, you know, number 9 in the order, who has been terrific, you know, in the tournament and in postseason. And this is a team that does not seem to have a weakness in terms of their 1 through 9. And so it's kind of fun to watch, and we'll see how it plays out, because you come here And really, as you know, Johnny, it kind of comes down to who gets hot at the right time.
Right.
Who is it? Is it a pitcher that gets hot? Is it a team that gets hot batting-wise? And we'll see. But there are four SEC teams here, which is not that uncommon. And so we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, to be here is the big goal. And it's pretty cool to see these guys achieve that moment and have that opportunity.
And three of those four, by the way, are all in the same bracket with Vanderbilt. So,
yeah.
So
that's right.
It's almost like having a redo of the SEC tournament. We'll see how this all plays out. Let me ask you this before we let you go. 2015, a lot of confidence about that team. Dansby Swanson, Carson Fulmer, a team that's the reigning champs as far as the College World Series, and everybody felt like the 2015 team was certainly even better. One win away. They win the first game as far as the best two out of three for the national title, and then lose the next two, and the season is over. I bring it up because from a confidence standpoint, compare this year and 2015 from your perspective.
That's interesting. I have not thought about that. I think this team, Johnny, is probably better. And that this is just me. I don't know. But I think this team is better 1-9 in that regard. Pitching wise, certainly, as you mentioned, you talk about Carson Fulmer and Walker Buehler and all those guys that were on that 2015 team. They were special. But this team seems to me to be more balanced across the list. And so we'll see how it plays out. I mean, everybody's, you're judged based on the end result, and we all know that. But I would tell you, I think this team might be the best, in that regard, and we'll see how it plays out. But they have an opportunity to do some wonderful things here, and we've had some special games in Omaha, as you well know. I mean, my goodness, how many have we talked about with special times? And so we have an opportunity, and we play Louisville right out of the gate, which is no surprise. We know those guys very well, so we just jump in, and here we go.